The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
Good morning. It is the day after Labor Day. It is Tuesday, and it's 7:07 a.m. This is Tom Giovanetti sitting in for Mark Davis on the Mark Davis Show. Mark is taking a well-deserved break, and we hope that he enjoys his rest and relaxation. I can say, as someone who has been blessed to come in and sub for Mark on occasion this year, it must get tiring having to get up this early every single day. So bless Mark. Sleep in. Enjoy your time off. In the meantime, we're going to have a great time. I'm going to be filling in for Mark today and also on Friday. And it's not like there's not anything to talk about. I think that this sort of new reinvigorated Joe Biden lit up in blood red, shaking his fists about MAGA Republicans is quite an interesting thing to watch. I think it's going to backfire on him. I'm not sure which Joe Biden I prefer, the Joe Biden that's out shaking his fists and lit from the front in bright lights with blood red behind him, ranting and raving, or the Joe Biden that just hid in his basement and wouldn't come out for several months. I'm not sure which of those I prefer. So I hope you had a great Labor Day weekend. I know that some of you were without power over Labor Day weekend. That couldn't have been fun. In fact, it's my understanding that some people in Dallas are still without power. So best wishes to you. Good night. I'm reminded that during the Great Freeze last year, I promised my wife that we would get a generator, and I still haven't done it yet. And every time there's one of these power outage episodes, I get this chill up and down my spine, like, oh Lord, please don't let our power go out, because I'll never hear the end of it for not having delivered on my promise of a generator. Gonna have to get that generator thing done, because I think our institutions are breaking down. Doesn't it seem like there's more power outages than there used to be? Doesn't it seem like it takes longer to get the power back up and running than it used to? I just think all of our institutions are breaking down, and it's a good idea to have a generator and a fireplace. I got the fireplace, still need to get the generator. If you are still without power, you're probably not listening to me on the radio right now, but if somehow you're managing to, I sure hope you get things back up and running soon. So, having just come off the Labor Day weekend, and by the way, I think I mowed yesterday. I think I mowed the yard for the first time all summer. I don't think there's been anything to mow since about June 15th. It's just been crisp and brown. We've been suffering through this drought, and then all of a sudden, in a period of about 10 days, we get so much rain that the drought comes to an end and we get flooded instead. So we go from there being no grass to mow to the grass being too wet to mow. So finally yesterday I cranked up the mower. I was delighted to find out that it would start and it would still work, and mowed the yard for the first time all summer. So that was my big Labor Day. Hope you had a good one. Hope you had a great time. Hope you didn't lose power, or if you did, that it came on quickly. And in the shadow of Labor Day, it's time for my annual Labor Day rant. And normally my annual Labor Day rant, normally the audience is just my wife or the folks in my office at IPI, the Institute for Policy Innovation. But since I'm on the radio today, you all get to hear my annual Labor Day rant, which is as follows. Labor Day is the stupidest lamest of all holidays. I was driving around this weekend. I saw some businesses putting out flags. Labor Day is not a flag holiday. It doesn't celebrate the country. It doesn't celebrate veterans. It doesn't celebrate those who risked their lives for our country. It doesn't celebrate the signing of any important documents. It doesn't celebrate the signing of the Declaration of Independence. It's not a religious holiday. It's not Easter. It's not Christmas. It's not a moral holiday like Thanksgiving or historical holiday. No, Labor Day is the lamest and stupidest of all holidays because Labor Day celebrates labor unions. Saw lots of stories over the weekend about celebrating American workers. No, Labor Day is not a celebration of American workers. Labor Day is a celebration of labor unions. It is a holiday that was extorted from the federal government by the pressure of the AFL-CIO and labor unions. It is a celebration of labor unions. And labor unions, by and large, are bad things, harmful things. One of the reasons that Texas has such a dynamic and resilient economy is that we are a right-to-work state. Now, you know, as someone who believes in individual liberty and the right of people to self-organize, you would say, well, Tom, gosh, I would think you would be in favor of labor unions because isn't that a voluntary thing? Well, as far as labor unions go, if it were voluntary, yeah, I'd be in favor of them. I'd say, yeah, that's fine. If people want to organize that way, that's fine. The problem really isn't labor unions. The problem is all of the various government laws and regulations that have given inordinate power to labor unions. The problem is state laws, where in many cases, workers are required to be members of a union shop. Before I was in the think tank business, I worked for a few years for a small manufacturing company. We would go around from city to city and do the trade show thing. And I remember the first time we ever did a trade show in Atlantic City, the forklift delivered all of our crates to our booth, but we were not allowed to take out our battery-powered drills and open up the crate. We had to wait for 3 hours for a union carpenter to show up to take screws out of the crate so that we could open it up. Once we got all the booth and everything set up, it was time to plug it into the extension cord, but we were not allowed to plug it into the extension cord. We had to wait for a union electrician to show up to plug our stuff into an extension cord. That was another several hours that we waited, simply for someone to plug an electric cord into an electric socket, because that venue was a union shop and only union employees were permitted to use drills and to plug electrical plug extension cords into electrical outlets. I remember having a conversation with the union electrician when he showed up to plug things in, and I was just trying to be friendly and trying to make conversation. And in the course of that conversation, it came out that that was the first time he had worked in 2 years. For 2 years, he had been on union benefits. And the first time he had worked in 2 years was to show up and plug in our extension cord. So unions and the government power that accompanies them have been a bad thing for states that require union membership. It's been a bad thing for companies that have unionized employees. And it's a wonderful thing that the state of Texas is a right-to-work state. It's a miraculous thing that states like Michigan in recent years have actually passed right-to-work laws. Michigan, of all states, is now a right-to-work state because even in Michigan, the voters came to realize how damaging and how harmful unions are to the state economy and to employment and to the growth of businesses and the establishment of businesses. So, look, I'm happy to have an end of summer holiday. I'm delighted to have an end of summer holiday and a beginning of the school year holiday. Let's just find something better to celebrate. Let's just find something else to celebrate other than labor unions. Don't get your flags out on Labor Day, unless your flags are out year-round, of course. That's great. My flag is out year-round. So, yes, I had a flag up on Labor Day. But, you know, Labor Day is not a holiday to get your flags out. Labor Day is not a holiday to feel good about America. Labor Day is not a holiday to feel good about your fellow man. Labor Day is a holiday that celebrates something that is, in general, harmful and destructive. I'll end my rant with a funny story. I grew up in South Carolina. When I grew up in South Carolina, the South Carolina economy was really dominated by the textile industry. If you wear underwear or T-shirts, or if you walk on carpet, odds are those textiles came from South Carolina, at least during that time period in the 70s and 80s. And there was a major textile company in South Carolina called Stone Manufacturing Company. They made underwear, T-shirts, all sorts of different textiles that Americans wore. And Stone Manufacturing Company was loud and proud about not being a union company, because unions were not required in South Carolina. And so every year when Labor Day would roll around, because Labor Day is a legal federal holiday, Stone Manufacturing was required to celebrate it, but they refused to call it Labor Day. So Stone Manufacturing Company, the first Monday every September was Stone Appreciation Day. It wasn't Labor Day. It was not a celebration of unions. It was Stone Appreciation Day. And I've just always thought that that was funny. Okay, you can make us celebrate it, but you can't make us celebrate unions. Again, this is Tom Giovanetti filling in for Mark Davis. Give me a call, 866-660-5759. We've got some great guests lined up this morning. We're going to be talking about inflation with economist Don Luskin. We're going to be talking about space. Those of you who are space nerds, Mark and I are both, Mark Davis and I are both space nerds. And so we are watching as the Artemis moon rocket fails to launch now for the second time. We're going to be talking to space expert Dan Gerritsen about the Artemis program and about man's return to the moon. In the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking to Pete Peterson. And then there's some really, really interesting topics that came up over the weekend. Some residents of Colorado are outraged that they were not able to turn their air conditioning down as low as they would like because the electric utility took control of their thermostats. They had signed up for a program where they paid slightly lower electric rates, and in exchange, they gave the utility the power to take control of their thermostats when necessary. And they were outraged by that. And then, of course, there's the incredible comedy in California of, on Wednesday, the state saying we're going to ban all gasoline cars by 2035. And on Thursday, they had to tell people not to charge their EVs because they didn't have enough electricity. So that's a recipe for disaster. The jokes write themselves in California. So we got tons to talk about this morning, tons of exciting guests. Hope you're back and ready for a great week. Short week, but a great week. This is Tom Giovanetti filling in for Mark Davis on 660 AM, The Answer. Well, I got a tweet in response to my Labor Day rant. We should change it to Business Day to honor America's businessmen and entrepreneurs. Sure, that'd be fine with me. Almost anything other than Labor Day would be fine with me. Let's call it Entrepreneur Day or Business Day or whatever. Heck, let's celebrate armadillos. Let's call it Armadillo Day. Anything would be better than Labor Day. Anything would be better than celebrating labor unions. This is Tom Giovanetti. You're right. This is not Mark Davis's voice. I am filling in for Mark today. Mark has granted me the great privilege of sitting in the big chair behind the big microphone and doing the best job I can to not lose his audience for him while he's on vacation. But we're going to have a great time. We're going to have a great time. Yeah, let's make it our long-term campaign to come up with something else to celebrate the first Monday of September other than labor unions. So we have a new British Prime Minister, Liz Truss, the first female Prime Minister since Margaret Thatcher. God bless us. Let her be as good as Maggie. Let her be as good as Margaret Thatcher. That's what Britain needs, and it's what the world needs. So that should be kind of exciting to see. I know a lot of you are worked up and outraged about the quote-unquote raid on Mar-a-Lago and the idea that the FBI has been politicized and that former President Trump is being persecuted. I'm not outraged by it. I think that the president took documents that he wasn't supposed to take, and then he refused to return them and then lied and said he didn't have any more, and it turned out that he did. So that's just bad behavior. It doesn't matter who does it. But I also cannot help but notice that Hillary Clinton wasn't prosecuted for similar things. I can't help but notice that nobody seems to have any interest in investigating or prosecuting Hunter Biden for very, very serious crimes. So it does seem like there's some selectivity going on here in the way some of these things are being investigated. Hey, we've got a caller. We've got Regina in Dallas. Regina, you got 3 minutes. What's going on?
Oh, my goodness. That's a long time. I appreciate you taking my call because today, from 5 to 6, on Central Expressway Bridge over near North Park, we are going to be hanging the sign again about the My Son Hunter documentary that's coming out tomorrow. And we're excited to have more people on the bridge. And it should be a good fun time because this sign, it's a very big banner. I sent it to Rhonda, but it's going to be traveling. It's going to be the traveling pantless Joe Biden's son a banner. And it's going to be going to different cities trying to get some attention to this wonderful documentary that's coming out that's exposing all the bad corruption connected to the so-called president we have. But
tell me more about the documentary, because I do think, in fact, as I just mentioned, I think that there's such an overwhelming amount of evidence so far about the fact that Hunter Biden is not just a bad guy, but has essentially used the cover of his father's political career to not only enrich himself, but also to escape legal prosecution for several things. So I'm glad to hear there's a documentary coming out. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, that's what's so exciting. I mean, we all know it, but nobody is getting it out there. None of the other medias are showing anything about it. That's why the people are taking it to the streets there to hang this banner so that y'all can see the documentary. Will be streaming. I mean, people can just download it.
Where will it be streaming? Do you know?
Excuse me?
Where will it be streaming? Mm-hmm. Do you know?
Yeah, Breitbart. Breitbart is okay. Let me see. It's on the banner, I believe. The banner has the where to go to it. But I also want to tell you, I'm reading something here. I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay.
The documentary film maker, Alan Voss, will be there also. So he'll be answering questions, and he can be there also. But I'm nervous because you're being so nice to me to take this time here.
Well, I'm only going to be nice to you for about 15 more seconds because we're running up against a break. So that is going to be available at the Breitbart website at some point in the next few days, right?
Tomorrow. Streaming tomorrow.
Okay, yeah. Very good. Well, thanks for alerting us to that. We really appreciate it.
And come to the bridge, the Central Expressway Bridge. It's over near North Park, and there's parking on either side. And Rhonda also has some more stuff on it for you.
Sounds great. Thank you very much. This is Tom Giovanetti filling in for Mark Davis on 660 AM The Answer. 7:36 on the day after the lamest and stupidest of all holidays. This is Tom Giovanetti sitting in for Mark Davis. During the break, I was reminded, I said that Liz Truss was the first female prime minister since Margaret Thatcher, and I was reminded that I had forgotten about Theresa May. So to all you Theresa May fans out there, I apologize. In my defense, Theresa May was among the most forgettable of British prime ministers, so I think I could possibly be excused there. But again, to all you Theresa May fans out there, my humblest of apologies. So we have got some interesting things to talk about related to inflation. First of all, the federal government said it didn't exist. Then they said it was going to be transient. Now, the federal government and the Federal Reserve seem to be engaged in a long-term, heavy-duty campaign to whip inflation. And according to my friend Don Luskin, they're wrong again this time. Don, how are you this morning?
I'm great. How are you?
You've got good news for us on inflation, I think, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, the bad news is that we have had inflation. The good news is that we have had inflation, past tense. We've already seen the peak in inflation, and it's headed lower. And before it gets back to normal, you know, that'll take about a year. So it'll still be a little bit higher than normal, and that'll impoverish people a little bit. But it's getting better. Tom, this inflation was not caused by the Fed, like most inflations in history. This one was caused by two presidents and two Congresses. This was caused because we shut down the world during the coronavirus pandemic, and in the United States, sent people $6 trillion in various kinds of income supports, supported by both presidents, Trump and Biden, and two Congresses. That contributed $6 trillion into the money supply, and that's showing through now as inflation. It's too much money chasing too few goods. That's all inflation is. But the good news is we haven't done one of those stimulus programs now for a year and a half. So the thing that caused the inflation has stopped. So the inflation's about to stop. It's really just that simple.
You know, Don, it seemed to me as a non-economist that just helicoptering all this money into the economy like we did over such a short amount of time had to have some sort of negative consequence. I wasn't sure what the negative consequence would be, but I've heard you now a couple of different times talk about inflation, and it's been very interesting to me to get this new perspective that inflation can be caused by more than just the Fed. It can also be caused by Congress, you know, borrowing and spending enormous amounts of money and dumping it on an economy that is just not prepared to vacuum it all up efficiently, and that seems to be what happened this time.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Most inflations are caused by the Fed, so you know I can understand why people just sort of automatically assume that. But like so much that's happened over the last 3 years since the coronavirus erupted into our lives, you know, we're just seeing things that we've just never seen before. You know, just absolutely amazing economic fluctuations, including the largest ever, fastest ever income support program by any Congress. I mean, this makes like the New Deal in the 30s look like a joke because it all got concentrated in like 11 months. You know, this is, I mean, of course, you're going to get inflation.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I think Biden sort of envisioned himself as like the second coming of FDR. But you know, thankfully, because of the existing political dynamic, he wasn't able to spend as much as he wanted to. But still, it was almost like a New Deal all done over 18 months as opposed to over several years.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
don't want to let it get too, you know, I mean, I'm not any kind of fan at all of Joe Biden, but you know, certainly that last stimulus bill that was passed in the first week of March, right when he was installed in the White House, you know, that was absolutely unnecessary at that point. The economy had already substantially recovered. However, the inflation we're experiencing now already got baked in the cake simply by what Trump did. So this has been a bipartisan spending fest. Now, you can ask yourself whether it was all justified. Well, if you just assume we're going to lock down the world in an attempt to fight coronavirus, whole separate argument about whether that was a good thing. But if you just accept that as a given, then if you don't give people those income supports, well, you're just going to have a downright depression, and you may never get out of it. So this was a choice between bad alternatives. You want a depression or you want inflation? Those are the only two items on the menu in this restaurant.
Well, that's really an interesting point. So, in other words, if we work from the assumption that all of those income support and relief programs were necessary to keep things from just being even worse than they were, now it's time to pay the piper. And you know, if a brief bit of inflation like this is the price we have to pay, overall, that's probably not such a terrible price to have to pay. You know, I grew up in the 70s, and I remember long term inflation that just dragged on for just years and years and years and years and sapped the economy of its strength. And, you know, I'm delighted to hear from you that that's not what you envision happening here, because it's a different it's a different kind of inflation caused by different things.
Right. Well, this is like Jurassic Park. We're not making the same old mistakes we made last time. We're making whole new mistakes.
Let me ask you about something that is still mystifying me in this sort of post-COVID economy, and that is the people who have simply chosen to not return to the workforce. This is sort of amazing mm-hmm. to me, because mm-hmm. almost all of those relief programs have long expired mm-hmm. from the COVID pandemic and the time briefly thereafter. But yet the labor force statistics suggest that there's significant a portion of the labor force that has just simply not returned to the labor force. And almost every small and medium-sized business that I know is struggling because they just simply don't have enough employees. My local little independent burger place that I like to frequent a couple times a week has gone to now closing 2 days a week because they just can't find enough employees to stay open during the business hours Wow. that they would like to stay open. What is going on here with this lack of return to the labor force by so many people?
Well, all of the income supports that were given were means tested. And that just means that they were, not given to wealthy people, and indeed they should not have been. But, they were given to households that are sort of at the median in the United States and below. And, three rounds of $800 stimulus checks, and, if you happen to be among the 15% at most that were out of work at the worst of it, you literally got paid 25% more not to work than to work. Then you got refundable child credits through the tax code, even if you didn't pay any federal income tax at all. Now, because these great benefits were all means tested, they were showered upon households for whom those amounts of money are really quite substantial. Now, I'm pretty sure you probably have an economically diverse audience, and there are some people who just simply can't understand how $800 makes a difference, but there are plenty of households for whom $800 makes a huge difference. And some of the below median households have lots of people in them. So, you've got, eight people in a multi-generational household, and maybe it's like, first generation or something, and, you're getting $50,000 in benefits over an 11 or 12 month period. Well, you never thought you'd have any savings in your life. And now all of a sudden you've got that. And that money started to arrive at a time when you couldn't get out of the house to spend because you were locked down. Well, a lot of people just can't understand how that would make it so you don't need to work. But the reality of life in the world, even in America, is an amount of money like $50,000 means you can take a pretty long vacation. And depending on your age, you might even be able to retire early. That's the reality.
So it's the lingering effect in many cases of those relief programs that again were probably larger and more impactful in lower income segments of the economy maybe than some of us might have even been aware of.
Right, and at your hamburger joint, it's those lower income people who are the ones that you can't get. Now, I think we want to be clear that your hamburger joint is actually a portal to upward mobility, that the people who work there are generally young. It's sometimes their first job. You get a job like that in order to learn how to work. And then you go on to a career that will hopefully last, 40 or 50 years, and you'll, end up at a place much, much more elevated than that, leaving room at the bottom of the ladder of employment for new young people to come in and work for your burger joint 7 days a week. But right now, that's what's gotten disrupted.
And that, by the way, is why those of us who are of a free market mindset have always been opposed to, for instance, demands to raise the minimum wage, because those kinds of jobs are, in fact, exactly as you described. They are very often the first or second step on the ladder, and they are the place where someone learns how to work, learns how to show up on time, learns how to follow Yep. instructions, learns how to, Yep. Keep their energy level up until it's time to go back home at the end of the day, and those sorts of things. And those are critical Yep. skills that people have to learn, and they learn them on the job.
You get your first taste of self-sufficiency and just the pleasure of achievement, and you learn how to work with other people in a cooperative civil society. We start closing those doors, you really have to wonder what our world's going to look like in 20 years.
Yep. So, Don, with the good news that inflation is, I was going to say tailing off. I think you would be more aggressive than that in your characterization. I think you've said that this inflation is pretty much over, or at least the factors contributing to it are over. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, tailing off is good. I mean, we're still going to, you know, feel the effects of it for another 7 or 8 months.
So if inflation is tailing off like that, that will, it strikes me, be of some benefit to the Democrats at the midterm election. I wonder if that's one of several factors that are actually contributing to the fact that these sort of generic polls have actually tightened up. I mean, 3 months ago, Republicans were looking at, you know, what they were characterizing as a red wave at the midterm elections. And now any prospects of a red wave, at least for the moment right now, seem to have dried up. And I wonder if part of the reason for that isn't this improving economy.
At the margin, that's certainly part of it. But you have to remember, in the Senate, the Republicans have to defend twice as many seats as Democrats. And in the House, well, you know, all 435 districts are gerrymandered to within an inch of their life. So, you know, there was never going to be a red wave. That was all rah-rah stuff from the red team. So, you know, that. But on the other hand, sure, when the incumbent president doesn't have as much of a misery index, as we used to call it in the 70s, mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, that makes, that creates just sort of less fuel for the fire to throw the bastards out. You know, on the other hand, Tom, I think we need to say it, that, you know, whatever you may think of the Supreme Court's decision in overturning Roe versus Wade, that gave Democrats something to run on. You know, that was a get out the vote thing. And normally in midterm elections, when your team controls the White House, you don't have a lot of reasons to get out and vote. That's one of the reasons why in midterms, the party that doesn't control the White House does better. That's almost a historical law. Well, for better or worse, the Supreme Court gave Democrats a reason to get out the vote. And I think that's part of it, too.
Don, it is a real pleasure to have you as a resource to turn to on these topics. I really appreciate it. Where can our listeners follow your work? What's the best way for them to follow you?
Well, you can go to my firm's website at trendmacro.com, and that's your portal to all things Don Luskin.
Okay, very good. Trendmacro.com. Don, thanks so much for being with us. Have a great day.
Thanks, Tom. What a pleasure.
This is Tom Giovanetti filling in for Mark Davis on 660 AM, The Answer. 7:54 on the day after the lamest and stupidest of all holidays. This is Tom Giovanetti sitting in for Mark Davis. If you've got to be somewhere at 8 o'clock, better get moving. 5.5 minutes. So that was interesting talking to Don Luskin about inflation. It's obviously great news that inflation, in his view, is already receding. I'm glad for inflation to recede. I'd rather it wait till after the midterm to to start receding. But I'm glad to hear it's receding. I would love to have asked Don about this college debt forgiveness fiasco, but we didn't have time. Maybe we'll have him on again sometime soon to talk about that. I am just outraged over this debt forgiveness program, and I'm outraged by it, even though it's going to benefit my son. I'm just still outraged by it. I just think that it is, first of all, I think it's an example of a president assuming power that he doesn't have or likely does not have under law. And if there is somehow some interpretation of a law that gives a president the power to do something like this, then there's something wrong with that law. You shouldn't just be able to, a president should not just be able to proclaim that hundreds of thousands of contracts around the country are suddenly changed. The hundreds of thousands of contracts are suddenly modified or changed. Not at all unlike the ridiculous sort of a rent moratorium that was imposed by the CDC that's suddenly declaring that people didn't have to pay their rent. What? I mean, have I been asleep for 100 years? Where did the federal government get the power to just suddenly say people don't have to pay their rent? So I cannot help but think that there are also going to be harmful economic consequences from the government waving a hand in the air and forgiving $500 billion in college debt. We at the Institute for Policy Innovation have this podcast that I'm quite proud of called the IPI Policy Basics Podcast, where we are sort of building an audio library of podcast episodes on various public policy topics, and we did one not too long ago on this very topic, this idea of moral hazard, that there's such a thing as moral hazard, that government can take actions that actually have what's called moral hazard associated with them, that can literally make people worse. They can make people less responsible. They can teach bad lessons. There are certain policy decisions that come along with this issue of moral hazard, and you simply should not do them, because taking that action now will encourage bad behavior going forward. And I don't know that there's ever been a better example of a policy with moral hazard attached to it than this college loan forgiveness program that the Biden administration is pushing through. I hope someone sues. I hope Congress sues. I hope Republicans in Congress will sue. It seems to me that Republicans in Congress would certainly have standing to sue. After all, this is Congress's prerogative. We know that because none other than Nancy Pelosi 1 year ago said that the president does not have the power to do this, that it would be the prerogative of Congress, that Congress would have to do it. Not hearing anything from Nancy on that today, are we? But I think that policy is not only unconstitutional and illegal, but comes with a truckload of moral hazard associated with it. I'd love to hear from you in the next hour. 866-660-5759. Would love to hear what you think about the college loan debt forgiveness program. I'd love to hear what you think about inflation in the economy. What do you think about Joe Biden's speech the other day? There's a computer screen in front of me here in the studio that shows an angry Joe Biden with his fist clenched, with a red background, with two Marines behind him. It's like an image from V for Vendetta. If you've ever seen V for Vendetta, it's like an image from Leni Riefenstahl would have done during the Nazi era in Germany. It's just such a bad, bad political visual. I just cannot imagine who on the White House political staff thought that was a good idea. In the next hour, we're going to talk about space. We're going to talk about Artemis. And I also want to talk about this fascinating development where Tarrant County Judge Whitley has decided he's not going to support Dan Patrick for lieutenant governor. So we can talk about that as well. Again, this is Tom Giovanetti sitting in for Mark Davis on 660 AM The Answer.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.